section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Did TNA find a new home? When does SmackDown move? And what is Jim Ross's new gig? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark, we are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So SmackDown is moving to Thursdays starting in January. Is this a smart move, Aaron?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good move. Friday is kind of a dead zone, and you know, a lot of people, they don't watch wrestling on Fridays. I mean, they just don't. You know, I record SmackDown, but honestly, I fast forward through the vast majority of it, and I think a Thursday will bring in a more of an audience, and I think that it's actually a much smarter idea for them. It was dumb for them to move to Fridays in the first place, to be honest, and so it'll be nice to have them back on Thursdays.
Now, what's going to happen with NXT and Superstars? Are they still going to run on Thursday, or do you think they'll actually move that to Wednesdays?
They'll probably move it to Wednesdays. If TNA is still around, you know, that's a good head-to-head that you would have there. You know, NXT and TNA are fairly comparable because you have that type of really good wrestling. I hate to say, but that's kind of what it is. You have good wrestling. And so, good wrestling versus good wrestling, basically.
You can't forget about Lucha Underground, by the way. That is also on Wednesday nights on the El Rey Network. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this is going to help SmackDown out. The only thing is that I have so many things going on Thursdays, recording-wise. I think I might actually have to wait until it's on, I think it's Universal HD, to actually watch SmackDown, if it's even aired on there.
You see, for me, it's Mondays. Mondays are pretty insane. But then again, I also have a couple people in the house that record stuff. So, Mondays are the biggest one. Honestly, Thursdays is like nothing. I have nothing recording on Thursdays. So, and then Wednesdays, we have Impact, and Friday is SmackDown. So,
yeah. So here's something interesting. Jim Ross signs with GFW. That's Global Force Wrestling. He actually mm-hmm. signed with them. But did you like the one thing he said in his contract that he wanted?
To announce the Tokyo Dome show.
But he wanted to do it there. That was the one stipulation, which I find actually kind of intriguing because that makes sense to me. Why announce it like they did with Bound for Glory, where they're in a studio in Nashville, probably, I'm guessing where they taped it, and he wants to be there. Now, that's great mm-hmm. for him because he gets to go there and actually do it live. But I think this is actually a smart move to actually have him go there. Now, who is going to be the basically the guys that's good as color commentator? Who's that going to be? And I have a couple theories on who it could be. Who do you think?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually interested to hear your theories.
I wouldn't be surprised if they either got one or two people, Jeremy Borash, or if they got Mike Tenay.
What about Matt Stryker?
Ooh. You know, Stryker actually might be the one to do it, but it depends on what his deal with Lucha Underground is.
Mm-hmm.
But actually Stryker might be better, but Stryker's really weird. I don't think he's the greatest on Lucha Underground. He's more of a color commentator. He's not a play-by-play guy. But
yeah, and there's a lot of people that are like that. But let's just talk real quick though about Jim Ross joining Global Force Wrestling and what that actually means. I think that helps bring some more legitimacy, and I think that Jeff Jarrett has been doing a really good job. He's been scouting talent in a lot of local areas, trying to figure out who the best people are and who they might be able to feature, even if it's just a one-off, because that's something WWF used to do, where they would go to different areas and they would show that, that one talent who would go up against like Scott Hall and he'd, destroy them. But they would still show off that talent. And so I think that Jeff Jarrett's doing that. They announced the Tokyo Dome show. They announced, Jim Ross, who also really helps legitimize that. And for him to actually do that, he's called WrestleManias, and for him to be able to call the Tokyo Dome show, that's actually another feather in his cap, in my opinion. And I think that, helps round out his career. And I think Global Force Wrestling now might be a legitimate competitor to TNA if they happen to be around.
Do you think that he's only doing this for himself and nothing else? It's just Jim Ross wants to do this because he's never done it, so why not do it?
No, I think he's doing it because he's a wrestling fan.
he is a wrestling fan, and he does commentate on things if you follow his Twitter account, and also I think his blog as well. He talks about it, but it's really interesting. Yeah, you're right. It does make GFW legitimate, but I'm just wondering if this is going to be a one-off or if this is going to be he's going to do their shows from here on out. That's what I'm trying to figure out. But it would make sense if he was, because WWE said that you cannot go on Jim Ross's podcast, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
But anyway, so did TNA find a new home? We actually will probably find this out as soon
probably
as
on Friday.
Most likely as soon as the show airs, as it's getting posted, we'll find out if they actually have a new home. Now, do you think they're staying with Spike?
I think they should. You know, I really think they should. But, you know, we're going to talk about it in a little bit. I think that they probably won't. You know, I think that'd be a good idea for them to stay. But I think we're going to see them at a new home, and we're going to see it at the start of the year. It's going to be a fresh new year. We're going to talk about some of their storylines they have going on right now and what it might mean for them. But, you know, I think that they could end up at Destination America, Discovery, WGN. You know, I mean, we listed off so many that they have an opportunity to go to. And it looks like that they will be in a new place come 2015.
As a wrestler, does this frustrate you at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It would to me as well, because it disappoints me that, hey, they're not telling the talent anything, but I believe that they're trying to do it, so it makes it seem like, I don't know, like it was always planned this way. But it did, well, it did get impressed at one point on, of all things, TMZ.
Yeah, but, you know, as a good leader will tell you, you don't sit there and tell everybody, by the way, guys, the ship is sinking, or, hey, we're in kind of dire straits right here, because then people are going to panic and people will then start looking at, you know, leaving the company. And they don't want that, because there's a chance they're going to have a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, if they can't find a new home, then they have to come up with a different plan, plain and simple, because I think TNA will still be around at the end of the year. Into 2015, though, who knows if they don't have a TV deal. We'll see. But, you know, they don't want people jumping ship. Somebody like a Bobby Roode, who is their you know, cornerstone, their gem right now, he could easily leave and go to Global Force Wrestling or potentially even WWE. And they don't want that to happen. So that's why they're not communicating this stuff out to the talent.
I think that's a mistake, too. I believe you let them know what's going on. Like, because they've been saying that a TV deal's been it's almost reached since, what, July, it feels like?
Well, yeah. I would, you know, if I was in their position, I'd do the exact same thing.
I completely disagree on that.
But why would you would sit there and say, hey, guys, by the way, just to let you know, we don't have anything right now. We're in dire straits and there's a good chance that you guys won't be here in a couple months.
No, I would say that, hey, we are getting a deal one way or the other. Just be prepared.
And that's what
for
they
it.
Said, though. But that's what
but the thing
saying.
Is, they keep saying it, but they keep it's getting to like that end degree where. You have to decide what you're going to do as a wrestler, basically as someone who's an independent contractor that needs to find work. If they're saying, no, I can't, if let's say someone's going to be giving like Bobby Roode a big payday, but there's a chance that he may have to wrestle on Impact that same night. He's mm-hmm. basically turning down money. If they said, hey, we're going to pay you $2,000. We're going to pay for all your expenses. You're just going to pay $2,000 to come wrestle on a Friday night. What if TNA says, oh, by the way, we can't get you that deal. And then they're like, you know what? Since you aren't going to be on TV anymore, we're going to cut it down to $1,000. That hurts him in his pocketbook right off the bat. So that's going to hurt. And that's just Bobby Roode. Look at all the other guys. Rockstar Spud. EC3 is the one that I actually will think get hurt the most if they go under. Because he can't keep that name. Unless they say, here's the rights to the name. But TNA won't do that.
He could, but you know the character, the gimmick itself. I mean, it, you know, it wouldn't they wouldn't be able to do it justice. But anyway, I think that they will be. I think that they will find a home. I think that things will be okay. And personally, I agree with TNA management. This is the way that I would do it if I was running things. I would tell them, look, guys, hope is on the way. You know, something is coming. I wouldn't sit there and give them every little detail because that's not what I think a good leader does.
But after 4 months or 5 months, you keep saying that, that's not going to bother you?
Now, it would bother me, of course, but unfortunately, that's what they have to do, because if you're going to sit there and tell everybody every little detail of what is going on, you know, they're one, they're not going to want to listen to it. Number two, you're going to probably have some people who might be run scared. You know, they might be like, oh, crap, this ship is sinking. Now I'm going to leave, just in general, you know, and you don't want people to leave. So,
all right. So let's talk about WWE program for this week. We had Rusev, Mark Henry, and Ryback all join Team Authority.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing with Mark Henry, do you think it's just because of Big Show? That's the only reason why?
Well, basically what we've seen here in this Survivor Series 5-on-5 is, hey, we have these other feuds. Let's just mash them all together, and that's what the teams will be. Mark Henry really doesn't have a reason to join Team Authority, and that's kind of my biggest issue with it. Why is he joining? Is he getting paid from them? They haven't said anything. It's like, oh, hey, we're just going to have Mark Henry join us for whatever random reason. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But there's that. You have Rusev join because Authority gave them the U.S. title, you know, and you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours, that sort of thing. So that makes sense. But Ryback was very interesting. What did you think? So the opening segment, he attacks Cena and says, look, you know, they signed my paycheck. But then there was a lot of tension there. And then at the end, Ryback's like, look, I'm not putting up with this crap, and attacks Authority and then leaves. What'd you think?
You know, it made Ryback save face because he was able to beat up John Cena, and then he was able to beat up Authority. So he's kind of like a big tweener right now. You don't know if he's face. You don't know if he's heel. You just don't know what he's thinking right now. It's kind of intriguing. So it makes, I think, Ryback a little bit more relevant. And I hope that on Raw he gets beat down by the Authority, and I hope that he gets beat down and then loses, so he's vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be interesting that if he does join Team Cena, and then somehow turns on them, that would be even more interesting.
That would be dumb. No, because really, you want Kazarian. That's what you want. You want Kazarian.
That's pretty much what's going on, though.
No. He was face, and then he's like, "Yeah, but they signed my paycheck," and then he's like, "Wait. You guys are kind of jerks, too. I'm not going to do that." You know, it's that shade of gray, and I think if they go down that route, I think it will be okay. I do like your suggestion on Raw this coming week. You have him be attacked and have him seem a little bit vulnerable. That's okay to do. I think that's totally fine. Don't overdo it. And he actually would be okay with Team Cena. And then you can have some tension there where Cena's like, hey, wait, you attacked me, though. You know, you could do something along those lines. I would be okay with that.
Yeah, now here's the thing, though. You had Big Show and Sheamus and Swagger all join Team Cena. Ziggler gets the crap kicked out of him by, who was it again?
Luke Harper.
By Luke Harper. So he's basically joined Team Authority, the way it looks. Did he take Ziggler out, though? Is that what they're forcing? Because he's actually a title holder, and it'd be nice to see the title get defended.
Well, if he's not going to be defending on the pay-per-view, I mean, why wouldn't he? They wouldn't have him defend the title on the pay-per-view and not be on Team Cena, you know?
Yeah, but I think it's disappointing when you don't have a title. Actually, you know, they don't put the... I guess no title defense at a pay-per-view, it actually disappoints me, especially if it's the second longest running pay-per-view that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the weird part. But here's the thing, though. They're basically gearing towards that Team Cena is going to win. What's the rumor? Why? Have you heard about it?
No, I haven't.
The rumor was that Stephanie McMahon is pregnant again.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
Now, it's been reported by a couple places, and they have not taken it down. They've left it up. But I believe that makes it more intriguing because you have Vince come out and
I disagree the power on thing. That.
Really? I'm wondering if that's what it is.
If she's pregnant, she can't work. She can't go out there on the mic.
But how far along is she? Because remember, when she was starting the show,
3 months.
Okay, but if she's going to start the show, she's not going to be on TV.
Why?
Because she's never been on TV while she's pregnant.
So? She could be on TV while pregnant. Women can do that stuff. It's not that
they can, but she hasn't. So why would this be different now? That's what I'm getting at.
You know what, though? They've brought up their three kids before, so it's not like
looks like they're going to have a fourth.
Yeah, well, if that's the case, it is. But all I'm saying is that it's not out of the realm of possibility for her to be there, you know? So I don't like that. You know, I think people are being a little silly about that. Back to something that you had said earlier, though, Andy. Swagger joining Team Cena. He got injured. You know, they're doing an angle with that. So that way there's currently one person available for each. You mentioned earlier it looks like Harper is going to be joining the Authority. Potentially we're going to have Ryback join Cena. It could also be Orton. I mean, what do you think about Orton coming back and joining Team Cena? Would that be something you'd want to see?
I don't think that's going to happen. He's off filming a movie. I don't think he's going to come back for a one-off.
Aside from that, storyline-wise, would it make sense for Orton to join Team Cena?
I believe Daniel Bryan will.
Oh, my God. Daniel Bryan's out of action. Oh, you're going to say CM Punk or AJ Styles is going to join too, right?
Oh, dude, I'll just say it right now. AJ Styles coming to the WWE.
I have a question for you. For the past three weeks now, you've been talking about AJ Styles nonstop. Do you just have just the biggest man crush on him right now? Did he do something? Like, is he over at your house? Do you have him in your basement?
What's going on? You got to hear me out. As a wrestling fan, let's point that out right now. As a wrestling fan, how cool would it be if not at Survivor Series, but at WrestleMania, there's some tag match and that guy gets knocked out.
You said this last week.
Just picture this. Then all of a sudden you hear AJ Styles' music kicks.
Listen to 242. And you'll hear the exact same thing.
The goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it.
Imagine if at WrestleMania you see CM Punk come out and then all of a sudden you hear the glass break and Austin comes out afterwards. And then you have the drunk versus straight edge. I mean, that's the same thing. It's not going to happen.
That would be actually really good.
I know.
But the thing is, that match you'd have to build up. The AJ Styles thing, you could have him throw out.
But who would he face? That doesn't matter. Let's get back to the actual thing we were talking about. Okay. because here's the thing. Daniel Bryan, it's not going to be him. Okay. So come up with somebody else.
Who's been out for a while? I mean, you could throw out
Rey Mysterio.
Well, you could say Rey, but it's not going to be Rey. You could throw out Bad News Barrett. He's not going to join. He may join Team Authority, but that would be best case scenario. I don't think he will. I'm trying to think of other guys. Darren Young is ready to go, but he's like lower mid card.
You
maybe.
Have to have somebody who has star power. And right now Ziggler is a mid to upper mid. And he's the lowest on the totem pole for Team Cena. Okay.
You know what I would seriously do right now? Remember, WWE Network is free. They would have to have someone either ECW style, because they had, of course, ECW for this week. Mm-hmm. You'd have to have someone ECW, or if next week they did like WCW week and talked about WCW and talked about someone like Sting, then you could have someone like Sting come out and people will go nuts. And if he says that I'm back and I'm staying, that might actually get people to start subbing again.
Yeah, no, Sting will not come out. If Sting ever comes out, it's going to be for a WrestleMania match. That's it.
But they have to push it, as in have him make the appearances and everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, who do you actually think? I'm talking like, let's talk about in real life. Somebody who might actually join them. Who do you think it could be?
What's Dolph Ziggler's brother?
So anyway, it's probably going to be Ryback. Number two would probably be Randy Orton. Although I think Randy Orton would be a poor choice, because why would Orton join Cena when he's been feuding with him for the longest time? That wouldn't make any sense in my opinion. So
unless he turned on him and then made it so Authority wins.
Yeah, but he doesn't like Authority either. So I think that I don't think that storyline wise it'd be smart to have Orton in there. I think that Ryback is your only choice in my opinion.
All right, so that's going to be the final team members, you think?
Yeah. Let me ask you, what do you think the match is going to lead to? I mean, it's a 5-on-5. They're going to fill the pay-per-view up with a couple other matches. You know, it looks like Adam Rose is going to take on the Bunny. We're going to see Ambrose taking on Bray Wyatt. They'll have a couple other random ones. But this 5-on-5 match, what is the outcome? What are we going to actually see come from it?
Something big has to happen. I think that it would just hurt this pay-per-view completely. And plus, you got to remember, if you are trying to get more subs, you have to make this worth everyone's while to be like, you know what, maybe I should pay $9.99 for this month. You have to have something. something big happened. Because if it's just another, you know, pay-per-view, it's not gonna make people want to sub. So you have to have something big happen. And I wish, you know, you could say like, oh, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, AJ Styles. You could say those guys, and that would help out. But I think there has to be something that we're missing. Who is that key that we're missing to make this work?
I know
work?
What it is.
Who?
I know what it is. AJ Styles is not going to be there. That's the key, Andy, all right?
Oh, my gosh.
Have to get up.
I'm like, just saying that would be something big. We're like, people are like, whoa, so I get to see some AJ Styles on the network?
Oh, my God. You are so like, I don't know what it is. Is he in your basement? That's all I want to know. I haven't seen him on TV in a while.
Let's see. Right? I don't see him. I see our fantasy football championship belt. I see Guitar Hero World Hero.
So anyway,
Xbox.
Let's talk about what the match is actually going to lead to. And I think it's going to be this. For Cena, nothing. Honestly, Cena's a little show in this. He still has a match against Brock Lesnar, which they haven't been talking about. So that's a null and void. Maybe Cena and Rollins will actually have a one-on-one at TLC, since, you know, who knows when Cena will finally face a Brock Lesnar some point in time. And then we're going to just see continuation, I think, of the other feuds. So that's all I think that we're going to see from this.
I think it's going to be a big miss on WWE if this is what happens. But, oh, well, I could also have another theory. What if the only reason that they had the free subs is that when they have their meeting at the end of January, they can say, well, we had X amount of subs come in during this quarter. Do you think that that's the only reason it's free then for this month?
Yeah.
Gosh. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installed with a free site builder, and hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling. So we have Storm and Abyss. They actually won the tag titles. Why?
Yeah, there was a Feast or Fire tag title shot. And so James Storm cashed it in a very impromptu way. And he had a partner of his choosing. And for whatever reason, he chose Abyss. I was kind of surprised by that, because you figured he would have, you know, chose Manic or, you know, the Great Sonata. But I guess, you know, they needed something for Abyss, because, you know, the only storyline he had was with Bram, and that one wasn't really going anywhere. So now Storm and Abyss are the new tag team champions.
Yeah, I find this weird. Now, you said something about Bram. I just want to point out that Bram is a soldier. Anything they've told him to do, he's done. So I got to give him credit. Now, getting on to the fact that Storm and Abyss won, what is this leading to?
That's my biggest thing with it. I think that, you know, Storm and Sonata, Storm and Manic, that would have been, you know, it would have made sense, because he's building those guys up. But I don't know, him and Abyss, I don't know what they're going to do with that, because Storm has been doing a really good job as a heel. I think that Storm is actually a tremendous talent. He's actually grown on me a lot over the past couple of years, and they've been doing a really good job with him, and they put him in some really good programs too. So this is kind of intriguing, but I'll be honest, I'm really skeptical about it.
Yeah, me too. Now, here's the weird thing that at least to me, this is the weirdest thing. Samoa Joe vacates the X title. Interesting, but, you know, they're still doing his injury angle. I mean, was this the time to do it, especially with one more live or one more show that's been taped? Do you think it's smart to do this?
I don't think so. You know, Samoa Joe's the type of guy that you could have hold on to that title for a while and have it be believable and really put some, you know, effort behind it. And so I think it's actually a really bad sign for TNA for them to do that, because I think Samoa Joe might be looking elsewhere for, you know, for work. And I think that this might be a case of that.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's just sad, because, you know, there's so many good talents out there that could be used, and they're just not getting used, so you're only going to have, you know, a couple stages to go to. So do you think he goes back to Ring of Honor?
I think he'd be very welcome there. And if, you know, TNA does not happen to be around, you know, in a year, I think that we'll see him probably float between there and GFW, because I think GFW will probably have a working relationship with Ring of Honor.
But I think WWE already has one.
I wouldn't say working relationship. Ring of Honor is definitely their farm league.
Okay. Now, here's the weird part. Okay, so the show ends with Aries taking on Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I don't get it. Why?
Well, they had some bad blood, and we saw these two go at it, and it ended in a double countout? Kind of a... I don't know. I would have been okay to see Lashley win. You know, Lashley won already. Lashley is a big guy. Although he makes his opponents look believable, though. Lashley, honestly, you know, for whatever flack we give him, I think Lashley is a tremendous talent. And I think that he's done a really good job in TNA. And I give him all the credit for working with what he was able to do. And he made Bobby Roode look good. He made Austin Aries look good. He's done a fantastic job. I think that if Lashley is not going to be there anymore, let him get a loss. You know, let Aries get a win if you're going to have Aries be a big deal there. And, you know, unfortunately, I think TNA missed an opportunity.
I completely agree. So here's the weird part. Next week is pretty much the last taped show that they have ready. Of course, mm-hmm. It's going to be on November 19th. Here's the weird part. They're going to have Best of TNA on the 3rd of December, the 10th of December, and also the 17th of December. That means we're going to go 1 week without TNA, then three weeks with TNA, and then 2 weeks without. And then they're going to have supposedly one more show on the 7th of January 2015. If TNA still doesn't have a deal by, let's just say on the first Best of, does this mean it's over with? We're going to have basically only one major promotion?
Well, it's the way it is right now. We only have one major promotion. Then we have a worldwide promotion in WWE. We have a national promotion in TNA, and then a regional promotion in Ring of Honor. And unfortunately, that's just the way that it is. You know, we don't have two global promotions anymore. And it's kind of sad because WWE needs they need that competition. And it's very apparent after watching, you know, the Rivals show that they've been putting on. It's very apparent that they need that competition because right now it's not as good as it could have been. And I think that TNA had a chance to be some competition to them. Not like, you know, legit competition, but some competition. And right now TNA is just, they're fighting for survival. They're not even thinking about WWE. They're like, how are we going to be on in a week? How are we going to be on in a year? And I think that we may see the last of TNA, you know, in the next couple of weeks. And it's sad. And I haven't felt that way in a while, but I'm starting to feel that way.
What if Friday at like 5 o'clock, you know, after you've listened to Off the Mark, 5 o'clock Central Standard Time, of course, they finally announce a TV deal, but it's nowhere near what they're making with Spike. Technically, it's a loss, no matter how we look at it.
Yep.
What are they going to have to do to survive? I mean, is there going to be a lot of budget cuts? Is it going to be that they're not signing guys to long-term deals? They're going to be really short-term deals and get paid pretty much what an extra for WWE gets paid?
I think that, yeah, we'll see some short-term deals. I think that we'll see a lot of cuts in the production area. We're going to see, you know, the lighting's not going to be nearly as good. We're going to have a lot of people that'll be leaving the company is what we're going to see.
So it's going to be like going to a pretty much indie show for life.
No, it'll be more like Ring of Honor, I would say.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Ring of Honor at least is entertaining, even though I haven't watched it for like the last 3 weeks. It's usually entertaining. Now, Here's something that I wanted to bring up that we didn't talk about earlier. After Raw, they had ECW exposed, and Paul Heyman said some stuff that I didn't know. Did you watch this at all?
I watched some of it. I haven't been able to finish it, though.
He said, were you ever on WWE's payroll? He said no, and he explained why. He said that they paid for them to go to pay-per-view, which I didn't know. The only reason why they went to pay-per-view is because of WWE. So that means WWE was pretty much understanding that it was a farm league for them, that they were going to pick and choose who they wanted to from ECW, as we saw in WCW as well. But then he said something that I thought was really intriguing. He said that that when WWE went to Viacom, they were already there. So you had Raw on Monday nights, and then you had ECW on Friday nights. And mm-hmm. he said that if it wasn't for the fact that WWE was actually giving the company money, he could have actually turned around sooner if he wanted to, which I thought was a bold statement to make. So I'm just wondering, are they just doing this for nostalgia value, or was this, you know, I just can't figure this part out. Why would he actually say stuff like that, even though he's like, I'm an open book and I'll keep answering questions, which he did even after the show ended. Why would he say that? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, it's well documented that Paul Heyman was on WWE's payroll, and you know, a lot of the things Paul is a businessman. He's also a salesman too. And he made ECW, people who worked there, he made them believe that there was a war and it was an uphill battle and it was us versus them, that sort of thing. You know, that's very, very well documented. And he's a salesman. And so that's what you're getting. You're getting the salesmanship from him.
I don't know. I actually kind of believe him if he said that he never personally took money from WWE, because that's what the big thing is.
But his company did. It's well documented he was, though.
Well, that's the thing. It's really intriguing how he words it. So I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, he probably is saying, I never did.
Yes, he said, I never did. He never said the company. Yeah, he never said anything about the company but he said that he personally did not. That's what I thought was intriguing. I think it's something I should probably rewatch, and maybe we should talk about some other time. But I thought it was intriguing that they actually brought up. And by the way, why wait 48 hours before this starts that you're going to say, hey, by the way, we're going to have ECW week. Okay, mm-hmm. Why couldn't you promoted that from the previous week? You'd have said on SmackDown, hey, by the way, it's going to be ECW week on the WWE Network, which is free for this month. They should have been promoting that, and they didn't. I think
they do a poor job of promoting.
And I believe that it was someone's idea on Friday at like 4:45. They're like, you know, it'd be kind of cool. Let's have ECW week this week. And Vince is like, you know what? That's a great idea. Let's get it going. It's going to be on Monday. Paul, Joey, you're going to be hosting it live. What? That's what I think happened, but I could be wrong. Who knows? Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and ending the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.